ABC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save
me. What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm from the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Any preference on how you like to
die?
Had
to come see you guys. It's good to see you guys. Let's take the streets for a little ride.
Okay, we riding high.
Yeah, you better light your L, smoke your L, and just
kiss the sky.
And if you ask for disrespect, bust some F.
Find that man God.
Yeah, I think the streets been looking for this one for a long time. Come on.
I came to bring the pain, more hard to the brain.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You're listening to DC on CW Summer 17 Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening to us on desktop or mobile, remember you can search us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW. Once you get there, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps the show out a lot. We really do appreciate it. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Denon. In the studio with me today is Lauren Alexander.
Hey, hey.
Nicole Nance.
Hey.
And Bobby Dory.
Hello, hello.
What is up, guys? So today we will be discussing all the latest show news and our hopes and dreams for the upcoming season, which will probably get smashed. And for
instantly
smashed. Bobby will probably come up with instant speculation and that will get smashed. But that's for all the shows on DC on CW. I'm excited to talk about it. We got some cool news to talk about, castings, you know, some neat crossover talk about too. So this can be a good show. I hope.
You just like gave up on it so quick.
Well,
you know,
really?
The thing is, like, I'm used to it now where it's like, okay, really super exciting news. And then like three episodes in, we're like, oh man, that wasn't that exciting.
I always wonder about it because we're going to get to some casting news that we find out like, oh my gosh, they casted so-and-so as so-and-so. And then 32 minutes in, we're like, oh, they're already dead.
You're like, oh shit, they died already. All right, tight.
Tight,
yo. Glad they cast that person that I really liked, and then that character's dead now.
To get the internet buzz.
Yeah, that's clickbait. That was a clickbait casting.
A click cast.
So we're...
Sounds like a porn thing.
That's like a move, like a click cast. I feel like that's a move. Is that like a casting couch move? I don't know. Anyways.
We got nothing, buddy.
I was hoping you had my back on that one, but you didn't. No. All right. Now that we're less than 2 weeks out from the season, let's go ahead and get through some of the news and speculation. We're going to start off with Arrow. First things first, we're going to talk about some casting news. One of the biggest things that we saw was Arrow cast Slade Wilson's son. We got an article here. This one is from one of our own. This is from Bobby. And Bobby, you want to take this one over? It's your article.
No, you're the lead
Alrighty
host for
then.
Fucking reason.
All right, cool. Hey, I was just saying, I'm going to give you credit on your own article. According to EW, Liam Hall will join the cast of Arrow in season 6 as Joe Wilson, the son of Slade Wilson or Manu Bennett. Joe Wilson will be introduced in the 2-episode Deathstroke story, where they will see the anti-hero team up with Green Arrow to rescue his own. I love how they always put Green Arrow's, like, and then they put Stephen Amell's name in, like, parentheses, like, we don't know that it's Stephen Amell.
Like, none of us know, yeah.
Oh, okay, dang, that's nice, tight. Joe is currently in Kasnian prison, operating under the alias Kane Wolfman. We will learn that Joe has followed his father's footsteps by joining the secret Australian military agents, ASIS. Is that correct? Not ISIS?
I'm going to go with whatever you want to call it until we actually hear it.
I'm going to call it ASIS.
Well, okay.
ASIS.
It's got to be ASIS or ASIS or something like that because...
But Assholesis.
Probably ASIS, realistically.
ASIS to mouthis. Is this? Is that what it is? There's no M in there, huh?
That's a special.
Yeah.
That's a special one, right? That's a special series. In any case, Joe Wilson is better known in the comics as Jericho. Joe is mute, but his abilities include controlling people's bodies through eye contact. He was a longtime member of the Teen Titans, although he occasionally found himself fighting against them. Arrow, again, will move to Thursday nights with six season premiere on October 12th. So this is pretty interesting. And it's going to be, to keep going on that, it's a two-part story with Deathstroke and Oliver Queen in front of half of the upcoming sixth season of Arrow, especially specifically episodes 5 and 6. Part of that will feature flashbacks told from the perspective of Slade. This is cool because I think we've been wanting something like that. We've been wanting some more Slade background, I guess. At least I have.
Listen, we've been wanting more Slade since Slade went away.
I mean, let's be honest. I always want more Slade.
Is this the backdoor pilot?
Dude, I...
Backdoor love. Sorry.
I mean, wow.
It's from Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Vastly underrated comedy.
Let's keep it there. The thing is, I could see that. I mean, a two-episode arc, maybe. Because... sometimes when they do these backdoor pilots, they really,
you don't know.
And that's the thing. I think they're really good, at least on CW. They're really good at saying, you know, I don't know if this is a backdoor pilot. And then it turns into being a backdoor pilot. If it does well, then they're more apt to do it. And I think that's the thing. So we got a quote here. It says, we basically showed the audience at the end of the season 5, that the Mirakuru is out of his system. Now we're dealing with Slade Wilson, who is sort of in a possession of all his marbles. But to me, what makes the character so interesting is he's never black or white. He's never pure good or pure evil. He's complicated. It's not that he's beyond redemption. It's that you never know what you're going to get with him. And I don't... Oh, that's from Guggenheim. Jesus, apparently I can't read. That is from Guggenheim. So I actually agree with that. That was one of the things that I really liked about Slade towards the end of the season, last season, was that we weren't really sure where he was going. We weren't sure if he was good, evil, whatever. And I like that. I like that version of Slade. Well, like not knowing.
It was kind of like, you know, we couldn't tell how in possession of his marbles he was, to use Guggenheim's words. Like, we couldn't really tell whether he was still a little bit off his rocker, if he was still having flashes of, like, lack of clarity there or what. But honestly, I mean, I think this is the correct way to go about the character. He's a mercenary. He's, you know,
he's for hire. He can go either way.
he has his own set of morals and ethics that apply to him.
Right.
And he works within those. And anything else is kind of out the window. He doesn't care about whether it's lawful or not to do something.
Right.
He cares about whether it's right to him.
Right. And if it's right to him. And I think that's the cool thing. And I hope so, Bob. I hope this is a backdoor pilot. I hope that we might get a series with Manu. I think as Slade, I think it would be cool. It doesn't even need to be a really long one either. I don't think we need a 17 episode. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love that. But I think it could be a shorter season. It could be something that, you know, just adds to the storyline. I mean, hell, I would just want to see Slade doing his mercenary thing. I think that would be cool as shit. So, again, this is pretty interesting. I'm going to stay on the fence about if it is a backdoor pilot or not until we see what the episode entails.
I just have a feeling that if all of a sudden it's the highest rated Arrow episodes that we've had in, you know, 3-4 years, that, you know, they're going to end up forcing it into something.
And I mean, if it is, then it is. And I think if they go that route, then they go that route. And, you know, I'm okay with it. I want to see what the episodes are about before I say whether or not, you know, it is or not.
And do we think that this Jericho Joe character is going to be around more in these two episodes?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. I think you're right on the other level, where if this is a popular episode and maybe the Jericho character is popular, then we might see him come back more. I think this is a feeler out to see what they want to do with the character, because, I mean, let's be honest, we all didn't even think we were going to get Slade until the end of the season when he popped up. And I think now that we've got it, they're testing the waters on what they want to do with the character. And if Joe is well received by the fans, then we might see more of him. I mean, at least, you know, I don't think we see him on Team Arrow, but I also don't think we don't not see him, if you know what I mean by that.
He'll be around in the show, but he might not be on their team.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I meant.
They don't like to just throw good characters in the trash or even characters that have any sort of interest from fans. They'll make them pop back up
absolutely
at one point or another.
Or, you know, they'll just get rid of them like Roy Harper. Oh,
yeah, but he's popped back up.
Well, then he's coming back.
He is coming back. I know.
Precious baby Roy.
All right. So let's jump into some predictions for season six. Who dies? We know that a few people will definitely be making it off the island alive. Obviously, Slade. Obviously.
Obviously.
Laurel Lance, we know. Was it Black Siren?
Yep.
Dinah Drake and Renee Ramirez. David Ramsey or Eagle. We also...
I don't like the fact that he confirmed that he was alive. I think we all assumed that he was going to make it
out. Yeah, like, come on, man. We don't need that, right?
It was just like, oh, come on. Keep it a secret. You haven't been in any previews.
How did he do that? Like, where did he release that info?
It was a Heroes and Villains FanFest thing. Quote.
Man, why is he going to say that?
David Ramsey, come on, man.
Come on, Diggle. We knew that. You're Diggle.
You're Diggle.
Yeah.
You have to make it off the island.
You have to Diggle off the island.
I'm pretty stumped. As far as other people.
Well, let's be honest. Obviously, Malcolm and Boomerang are dead. I think we can pretty much assume that's 100% fact at this point. Now, here's who's still on the island. Felicity, Talia, Nyssa, Thea, Samantha, Captain Lance, and Terrific. So, you know, who are they? They got to kill someone, right? Or a couple people, right?
It's going to be the Al Ghuls.
Talia and Nyssa. Die?
They just brought Talia in, though. You really think they kill her that quick?
Can Felicity die?
Yeah, can she die?
And that way, we never have to worry about anything reverting back to crappy romance.
Until Dinah Drake and
dude, whatever. She, like, as long as they don't write her character badly, it's fine. But they wrote Felicity's character into the ground for a
really
while.
They really did. They drug her into the ground and she hit every ugly branch.
They brought her back a little bit.
Falling from the tree.
But, I mean, I'm still bitter.
Let's be honest. I would be okay if Dinah and him, you know, shacked up. But the fact of the matter is like, I don't think they killed Talia. They just brought her in. That seems really, really weird to bring in that character.
I just said, I think that out of all of them, I'm going to go with one of the sisters has to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them. Probably Nyssa.
I would say maybe Nyssa too, just because she hasn't been around. And
unless
Talia's a bigger...
they're planning to move forward with Nyssa's character more, in which case Talia would have been a plot device. And then they could kill her. But, I mean, you never know. I don't know.
Does Lance die?
Lance dies.
You think Captain Lance is gone?
And I think Samantha. Well, I think we know Samantha dies.
Yeah. Terrific doesn't die.
No.
And
I think Captain Lance dies because then that fucks up with Wild Dog. And then that's like another, like, Lance that Oliver somehow screwed.
Fucked over. Yeah.
Screwed up.
Everything I touch dies.
Oh, my God. Every Lance that I touch dies.
This is
once.
The only one I haven't been in.
This,
damn. Why?
Oh, man. That is awesome.
I wish I would have fucked him before he died.
Then he would have been okay.
No, then he would have just gotten brought back. He would have still died. But
yeah,
he would have
brought back. Yeah, if he dies and he comes back. Yeah. I don't think Felicity dies as much as I want her to die.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And obviously, Thea's not going to die, and Terrific's not going to die.
I feel like Terrific does nothing for the story if he dies. You know what I mean?
It really,
like,
doesn't do anything. Yeah, there's no, like, major...
It's like an oh well.
Yeah, at that point,
like,
yeah.
I love him. I think he's a cool character. I think he's great. He's fun. He brings good things to the episodes, but... Yeah,
he hasn't become that character that if he dies, it's
a comedic relief character right now.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there's anything that... There's no commitment there that's really going to shatter anything if...
Yeah, he's not dying.
If he dies.
He's not dying. I mean, I've seen him suited up in the Terrific suit in filming. He ain't dying.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't set Thea up to die either.
I mean...
It feels like they're still pushing through more stuff with her.
They got more to talk about with
And
with
Roy's
Thea.
Coming back, so...
Yeah, now Thea's dead. Mean, well, maybe that's why Roy comes back. Thea's dead.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's room for a red archer because of her being dead, even though she hung up the suit. I don't know.
That would suck, though.
No, man, these predictions are hard.
Yeah, these are hard. What do you think, Bob? Because you're like the king of predictions.
I still think Roy Harper is going to end up being Vigilante.
Sorry.
Did you forget about that prediction?
I know. She wasn't on Arrow a lot last year.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The last episode I was on, too, was the gun control one.
Yes.
Oh, that was the last episode of Arrow I hosted.
Yeah, so I still think Roy Hopper's going to end up being Vigilante, and I think he'll have a, like another, you know, reason if, you know,
back.
I can't believe
back.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think they're red hooding him totally.
They're totally red hooding him, yeah.
Oh, my God. Because they said it was someone, it's going to be someone that they know, right. Or at least that Oliver knows.
Yeah.
Well, they said it. Like Stephen Amell or someone outright said the vigilante's identity, like it's not going to be a, like it'll be a surprise, but it'll be someone that Oliver knows. Someone who is not a stranger right. to the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think with, you know, them announcing or at least how quickly I forget his name right now. Was this the Colin, right?
Colin, yeah, I think.
Right. I'm just drawing a blank.
Who are we talking about?
Roy Harper.
Right.
Oh, his the actor's name?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I'm drawing a blank. It's amazing when we're out of practice that I can't remember names.
Yeah, normally we
I don't even have to think about it. Yeah. But he's the one that made the announcement on Twitter that Colton
Haynes.
Yeah. Jesus.
We suck. we're not good at this.
You know, he made the announcement that he was coming back. And I just think that it fits perfect into the Vigilante thing. That would be kind of a shocker.
Yeah, that'd be a cool.
You know, like you threw me out of the city and now I've come back because you're not doing what you said you're gonna do.
Well, it would make up for the shitty Prometheus reveal.
Please get over
it. I'm not getting over it. I am gonna hold on to that grudge until we end the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how does Oliver's son now work with the dynamic of the show? In
I
general?
Hope that he's one of the other two that dies.
He can't die. He's on the boat. Like Oliver pushes him off.
Thanks for coming, son.
Oh my God! I can't believe you killed my son.
I can't sweat. And he's dead.
The whole team like comes back to him, or what's left of
and
them.
His son and just he's floating in the fucking water.
And he's
water.
Just like, they killed my son.
He killed him before he blew his own head off. And he's just laying there. He's got bullet holes in his back. And he's just.
Oh my God!
Is that dark? Is that a dark?
A little bit.
Whatever. Honestly, I think the son thing is going to totally hinder Oliver. 100%.
I'm worried about it hindering the show.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's another one of those things like, I can't go bust this robbery because I got to go pick him up from school.
How complicated is complicated enough
Felicity,
for Oliver's
go get
life?
My son. Go pick him up from school.
Well, that's the other thing now. Is that going to rehash old shit with them?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. It's going to spark up little bits of like romantic crap between them and... It's just gonna...
Why don't we have one of our own? Oh my God. I want an Olicity baby.
I hope that's a soundbite forever.
Oh man, damn it. Fuck.
Mark the time, 18 minutes.
Crap, damn it.
Son of a bitch. All right. I think that's gonna hinder the show a lot. And I don't want to seem mean or insensitive, but I really don't give a flying fuck about Oliver's son. And I don't want that to be a focal point. I mean, look, we literally brushed him under the rug for the last couple seasons. And now he's bringing him to light. And it's like, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this? Okay. Where is this going to go?
So I don't think that's like insensitive to not care about a fictional kid.
All right, especially... cool. So fuck that kid. I hate him. He should die.
Well, and like, to be fair, the thing is that. We have zero attachment to this kid. Why should we care?
That's true.
Like, Oliver took us, like, 10 steps back from this kid's life and let him 20. Just exist with his mom
Should've
elsewhere.
Just pulled out.
And, well,
Should've
you're
just
right.
Blew a load right on her chest.
Okay. Well, he didn't. So he here didn't. We are.
What a rookie. So, his pullout game is not strong.
You know, when you pull back a quiver, there's only one way to let go.
Why do you think he practices that so hard?
Because he doesn't know how to shoot his arrows.
Mistake. But no, for real, like we have zero attachment as viewers to that kid. Oliver doesn't seem to have much attachment to him. He loves his son or whatever. Yeah. You know
what
I mean?
He loves the thought of his son.
Yeah, he loves the thought of his son. If his son needed something, he would do it for him. But at the same time, how much more complicated are we going to make his life?
They expect us to give a shit. And it's like, look, I you're right. He pulled back. Oliver pulled back from his son and he wasn't a thing. And now it's a thing. And why are we supposed to care? Like, I think that's the biggest deal. Like,
I think we're supposed to care just on the principle that it's a child.
Yeah. See, I don't, that's not how I work. This is a fictional show, a fictional character. And if I don't have an emotional attachment with that character that has been on the show, then I don't give a flying fuck about him. And the thing is, like, this is a character that is, like Bob said, could have a chance of hindering the show.
Well, I want to point out, too, that this kid doesn't even know his dad.
Doesn't even
he
know,
has
yeah.
no idea who he is. How much rejection do you think is going to be there? And how much are we going to have to focus on that
so
in the show?
Quick.
You know, like, who is this guy?
I don't know you.
What happened to my mom? His mom's probably, let's be real, she's probably going to die. She's not going to make it off the island. And then it's going to be a whole thing.
Oh, God.
And
why is my mom dead? It's your fault.
I don't
No, son, it's your fault because you ended up telling Prometheus who the fuck you were.
Yeah, you
I don't
want
to shit on, like, the show before it starts.
I'm not shitting. I'm shitting on the character.
But I'm just saying I am concerned. I'm concerned about how much, you know, daddy-son drama of, like, I don't know you. You're a stranger.
And that's
but a stranger danger.
Well, that's Oliver's guilt now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. See, I just don't want episodes of that. I don't want to see that shit.
Send him away.
Send him away. Send him to fucking Ra's al Ghul.
Military school.
Yeah, send him to fucking League of Shadows. Fuck him.
League of Assassins?
Yeah, League of Shadows, whatever, same thing. anyways, so now we're going to let Lauren take over for Supergirl. I'm going to go ahead and get my phone out. Hold on, so I can just
drift
away.
All right.
Shut up,
resident
Brian.
Whiner, go over in a corner. Supergirl, Saturn Girl is coming to Supergirl. Hailing from the sixth planet of our solar system, the one and only Saturn Girl will be arriving in National City this season on CW's Supergirl. Played by Bollywood star Amy Jackson, Saturn Girl will mark the U.S. debut of the British, apparently. British.
Did you just call her a British?
British.
What the fuck's
a
British?
I forgot the R in British. The British-born
British.
Actress. The British-born British. Quite. I mean, I don't know. She hasn't been in anything that's been really released in the U.S.
Is she hot?
She's very pretty.
I always wonder when they make a point that it's a Bollywood actress.
Amy Jackson is her name.
That's like a billion-dollar place that already knows her.
Yeah.
A billion people.
Holy macaroni.
Yeah, now we have your attention, huh,
yeah,
Ryan?
Wow, maybe I have to start watching Supergirl. Holy Nikes.
She's really pretty. That's an understatement. I feel like she's gorgeous. And she's going to be playing Saturn Girl.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to work her in. And
I know how I'd work her in.
Okay.
Well, I have a let's go here. It's going to have to be a way to get Mon-El back, right?
Oh, probably, because he's in the Phantom Zone or whatever, and
she finds him.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be something like that. Honestly, I mean, I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of lesser talked about characters. I think we're going to see a lot of characters like that just kind of pop up with Mon-El or as a way to get him back or something like that. It has to be connected to him. I don't know when we're going to see her. I don't think there's any news of like how far into the season she's going to show up.
No, I was just straight casting.
She is connected to, aren't we getting, wasn't there talk of something related to Chameleon Boy at some point or something?
If there was, I didn't see it.
Maybe I'm going crazy. That's a good possibility. Who knows? In other casting news, though, we've got Odette Annable. She is going to be playing Rain, who is our new big bad.
Ooh, let's see what she looks like.
Well, I mean,
nope, that's not gonna work.
She is also pretty. And she's also, you know,
well, have you noticed they don't
lady?
They don't hire uglies.
They don't for television most of the time.
No, they do not.
Because people have to look at them.
No, they leave us for radio.
Man.
Wow.
I was just talking about myself.
I was like, why you gotta rope everyone into it? If you're gonna insult yourself, that's fine. But damn, dude, come on. All right. So a little refresher. Rain was one of five world killers created by Zor-El, who later regretted that decision, but whatever. It's just, you know, it's going to be two superpowered people who are pretty close in strength and everything facing off this season. And I hope that it's not another hey, this is the big bad, but just kidding, we're going to save it until the very, very, very end.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, that's a, you know what I mean? She's like, a very pretty girl.
I hope that that's not what happens. I hope that she has a Grail-like
like Monty relationship. Python?
No. Okay. I hope that Rain is to Supergirl in this show what Grail has been to Wonder Woman in recent gotcha. DC comics.
Sorry.
Side War and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that there's like ties there and things like that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the website that I found that article on looks to be down right now. But basically what they said is that she has more of a personal relationship with all these people, that it's not going to be like an out of nowhere, that she has some kind of history with Supergirl that made her the way she is.
Cool. So it will be then.
Yes. It sounds more like it's going to be like her origin came from something that Supergirl did, and now she's out for revenge. So
cool.
Again, TV Insider wants to take a shit, and that's their fault.
Hey, yeah. all right, let's talk predictions. So, I mean, Jeremiah Danvers, are we going to see the end of the end of the end of his story?
Probably not. I feel like they're just going to drag that out forever.
You just got to make sure that he can keep forever.
Yeah. Just keep coming back, man.
I don't know. I'm really hoping they wrap it up because as cool as he is, Dean Cain, not Jeremiah Danvers.
they seem to string this story along now.
Yeah.
Because I think we all three of us can agree that we thought this was going to be over by the end of last season.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought the Cadmus thing was going to take care of it, and now it's like, oh, he's gone again.
And with the end of the season, you know, we've got so many other characters to talk about, so many other things. We've got new characters that are going to be introduced. Like, what does the future hold for Lana? Is she going to go full Luther? Is she going to, you know, stay Team Supergirl? What the hell's going to happen there? I mean, I would love to hope that Lana forever stays Team Supergirl.
You don't think she'll go full Luther at any time?
I don't know. That's why I said I would like to hope that she stays Team Supergirl forever.
Is it too predictable?
I feel like it is. And I know that there's definitely room for story arcs where that relationship is tested and where maybe she does. But we've already had that. Two seasons in, we've already had those little story arcs, or like even just one episode stories where we question Lana's integrity or her moral compass, and we go, oh, is she now working with the bad guy? Does she know, you know, what that is? She is the whole reason that some major events went down, because she was working on the technology with shitty McBitch face. And
sorry,
official character name.
It's
on IMDb.
Yeah, Google that, Ryan.
Shitty McBitch face. All right,
hold on. So, I mean, it's just, I feel like any more of that within a season or two upcoming would just be too much, you know?
Diddy McBitch face.
He's really Googling
I found cunty McBitch face. Sorry.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
now
I
shitty
think that's
McBitch
even
face. Let me see what images pop up.
Stupid.
So, but I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Bob?
Does she find out about Supergirl? Like, because she still doesn't know about Kara, right?
I think that
I think we might see
that this season. It got so close to home last season, especially towards the end, that I think it's going to be a plot point of this season. It already was, and Kara was already starting to feel a lot of guilt about her best friend not knowing who she is, when she has a respect for, you know, other alien species and races and whatever.
Yeah.
And she thinks that their relationship is totally open and honest. I think we're going to see something that is pivotal to their story happen this season in regards to Kara and her secret identity and withholding that secret from Lana. I think if anything does set her full Luther, even temporarily, it's going to be that she's hurt that she wasn't told, that she wasn't in that inner circle.
Nicole, what do you think about it?
I can totally see it being one of those storylines where she finds out and like she's upset, she's hurt, and she's like, well, basically, fuck you, and like goes off. And we are led to believe that she goes full Lutheran. Maybe she does. But then there's going to be something where it brings her back, and then she's going to be the one to come running back and saving them at a dire point of need.
So you think they chase her away only for her to realize that she was getting protected or something, and then coming back to save them at the end?
Yeah, something like that.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I could 100% see that type of story happening. That's something that I've kind of been like predicting or whatever for a little while now, because it just seems like they're going in that direction. And
yeah, that's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, I would like to hope that that's how they're going to do it, and not just like Lana's a Luther now. Bye.
Yeah.
Let's get that power suit of Lex's and just pew pew pew
pew pew
pew pew pew pew. Mon-El is the big question. He's got to come back the way they left it. He's getting home. He's got to. For Nicole and myself, he's got to.
God damn it.
Got to have the eye candy back, right?
He's too wonderful. We need him.
So,
hold on. Who plays Mon-El?
A precious, adorable human being.
I'm looking right
now.
An
adorable cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is
really?
He gooey in the middle?
I mean, that guy,
really? Come on.
He's
come
very
on.
Charming.
What's wrong with
he's
him?
He's very charming on the show, right?
He's extremely charming on the show.
He's extremely charming on the show.
I'm not going to lie. I'd fuck him.
Oh, really? You would.
He's got pretty eyes.
I don't need a change.org thing to make me go buy for him.
So cute and charming.
All right.
Anyway,
okay,
so
okay.
Moving on. But, you know, how are we going to see him get home? I know we mentioned, like, he's probably going to run into some people in space, and they're going to help him get back or whatever.
In space.
In space.
So they've always teased, like, the flight ring.
Yeah.
Do you think that comes in? You know, if they're going to start bringing in Saturn Girl and people that are from outer space, do you think they team these people up?
I mean, probably.
I see that happening.
It's just, you know, there's so much opportunity there, especially because when they do things in Supergirl, it's not entirely affecting the other shows. So they have a little more liberty there to just kind of take things and do what they will, because they can go, oh, different universe. That's okay. This is a different Earth.
Yeah.
It's totally different. You know, that person might be something else over on their Earths, but over here for us, you know. So, I mean, it's... I think bringing in like the Legion flight ring would be great. That'd be really, really cool. But also, I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. I hope they bring in cool characters with it. Like one of the.
Well, because Rey's coming.
Right. Yeah. But like we're never going to get Booster Gold. You know what I mean? Like,
no. I know they had talked about that forever, but I think that one's kind of dead now.
But I think Mon-El in place of Superman as like a Legion, flight ring user. I think that that's probably going to be something that happens. I mean, like he has limited options on how to get back.
Yeah,
and he can't fly.
No,
it's going to be through Saturn Girl.
It's got to be, I don't know. I feel like it's got to be through Saturn Girl.
It says, like, you know, her description is she uses her telekinetic ability to help those in need. I'm like, oh, well, he's in need of rescuing right now.
In need.
So that's how they're going to introduce her.
What were you going to say there, Lauren? Don't stop it. He's in need of what?
He's in need.
Don't worry about it.
Of love things.
I was going to say he's in need of dead ass, but I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, Win. Yes. Let's talk about Win, the other precious, adorable little cinnamon roll on the show. I mean, I don't know what's in store for him. He has really cemented his place within that team, within, you know, a whole organization. But there's always that history of his family with Toy Man and everything like that. And anytime he's underutilized or pushed aside, there's always that question of,
is this the day?
Is this the day? Is this his one bad day? And I don't really see that happening, especially because he's been so upfront with his feelings and stuff. Like when he gets pissed off or when he feels like he's being left out, he lets it boil for a little bit and then he says, you know what? Screw it. You are treating me like crap. You are not letting me do things to my full potential. And I don't appreciate not being a full member of the team. Like, he, I don't see him going evil.
Okay.
They always plant those little seeds. I don't know. Nicole, what do you think?
Sometimes you got to plant seeds.
He's also like the comedic relief as well. So I can't see him going evil.
Love him. He's great.
Adorable.
Look, that's, I mean, he's a wonderful character. He is part of what started getting great on Supergirl in the first season. You know, the episodes with his dad and stuff like that. Like, that's where the show really started taking off. And I feel like he came into his own as a character. And then the other actors started, like, coming into their own as those characters. And I would credit him with launching that show into a better zone. Not entirely, but, like, really helping. Because those episodes were where it really got good. And I've been hooked since. So I don't want to see him go evil. I don't want that for him. I want that to be something that he keeps in the back of his mind because of his dad, that spurs him to be good and to be, you know, a better person.
Totally, 100%.
All right, with that, we're going to go to a quick break. And when we get back, Ryan doesn't have to listen to us talk about Supergirl anymore.
Hooray!
Oh, sorry about the limo. Love the wheelchair. Might I suggest motorized?
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Adam Single saw the woman walking her dog Monday afternoon and yelled at her, thinking she was a killer clown. When the woman didn't stop walking, Single fired a shot from his rifle, which missed, thankfully.
He had time and a location to grab his rifle.
He's in Kentucky. He's probably hanging in the back of his truck. Yeah, right, Gia.
You know, I apologize for killing this woman.
But you didn't kill her.
I killed her. I killed her.
Yeah.
But you know,
you killed her?
Nowadays, it's so confusing. All these bitches just wear too much makeup.
Yes, they do.
I was telling Jethro the other day, I'm like, remember when bitches didn't wear makeup? You could wake up the next morning from a club night and say, hey, Bertha looks the same as she did last night. Oh. It's insane. It's insane. Now, when I wake up from a club night, their faces are on the pillow next to me.
I complimented my mama with her lipstick. Oh. You know?
I mean, back when I used to have sex with my mother, I mean, she wore the right amount, the right ratio of makeup.
I told my mama it definitely brings out your dick sucking lips.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we're back and we're going to talk about Flash. Now, the first bit of news we have is some more casting news. Hartley Sawyer, hopefully I got that right, joins the Flash season 4 as the Elongated Man. Hartley Sawyer is joining the cast, the Flash season 4, as Ralph Dibny. I think I said that right. Also known as the Elongated Man. The Elongated Man is one of the Flash's allies, who by day is a fast-talking private investigator, and by night costumes up to patrol the streets and fight crime thanks to his ability to stretch his body to any shape or form. Sawyer will appear in recurring role through season 4 and will use his abilities to help Team Flash solve one of the Central City's greatest mysteries. If you guys aren't familiar with Elongated Man, he is very, very sassy. I think it'd be the right word.
That would be a very appropriate word for him.
I think so. He's got a lot of love on the DC's animated movies lately and TV shows. He was in a few Batman Brave and the Bold episodes. So if you're not familiar with the character, very cool character. I'm actually kind of interested to see how they do it, because that seems like that's going to be a lot of visual effects for a character, since he stretches and whatnot. So I'm very interested to see how they do that effectively. You know, essentially last year, you know, last season, we had a lot of visual effects that we thought were pretty good. And I think they killed a lot of the visual effects. So this one's going to be a very visual effect character. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to do this character, and like having his arms stretch or his body stretch. How will they do that?
Question for you.
Yes.
So when we spoke with David Sobolov, who is the voice of Gorilla Grodd, you know, he mentioned that Gorilla Grodd can only be in so many episodes because it just eats up the budget. Now, that being said, since this is a very CG heavy character, do you think they're going to be able to incorporate him a little more, or not totally eat up the budget with him because they're not so worried about making it look super real?
Well, one of the things that one of the quotes that we saw, it says the two will have him and Flash will have a very different philosophies over how to be a good guy, indicating that the character won't be as heroic as his comic book counterpart. So that leads me to believe that he's probably not going to show up a ton. They might have him kind of here and there and sprinkled in. Sure. But yeah, that's a tough one, because if you've got a very visual effect character, I think we see more of him if the character is well received.
Yeah. I feel like too, though. So here, there's a clear difference here between those two CG characters.
Right.
When you're animating a gorilla that's supposed to look like a real gorilla, you have to pull out all the stops and you have to try and make it look as real as possible, or else Absolutely. It's just cheesy. But with Elongated Man, he's always going to look a little cheesy because human bodies don't do that shit. So do you think they have a little, like, they can take a little liberty there and just like be a little silly with it and not have to worry about like, this has to look exactly perfect, like a real human body stretching in a way that doesn't exist?
Well, I always thought too, with Elongated Man, he was just kind of a goofy character anyways. I mean, let's be completely honest. It's Reed Richards. I mean, we're looking at Mr. Fantastic, basically a ripoff, or I don't remember which one came first.
I mean, his significant other is Sue.
Right. At that, yeah. I mean, like, let's be completely honest here. So I think you're right, Lauren. I think they definitely have a little bit more liberty with this character to say, okay, we don't have to really make him look 100% when he's stretching, or there's got to be a way to do it where it's not like, you know, a straight up arm stretching. There's got to be another, not goofy way, but kind of a cool way for them to do it without making it look, you know, completely over the top, I guess.
See, and I'm hoping they're not going to do some cheese ball practical effect where you think his arm's going around the corner and they just kind of like throw a stick with an arm on it.
That would be awesome, dude. Like a guy holding a stick.
Yeah, just holding a stick and like his arm's longer now.
That would be amazing, dude.
Whoa!
Look at how long my arm is. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be weird. I think there's got to be a right way to do it. If he is going to be very visual effects heavy, they could do it in a completely different way. Who knows?
But like Lauren said, if they just green screen part of his arm, you know, and have to animate over that, it's a lot different than making it a group of gorillas.
Also, he's going to be wearing a suit probably over his skin, and that's a lot easier to replicate like
than
fabric.
Just skin.
Yeah, than skin or like moving hair on a gorilla.
Yeah, that. I mean, I think this is going to be an easier shot for them. For sure. I just think they have to do it right if they want it to really not look goofy.
You also got to remember that the villain's not a speedster this year, so we don't have to animate two of those.
That's very true. That is very true. We don't have to come up with a practical suit halfway through the season.
A different color Flash going across the...
Yeah.
It'll just be a rubber dude.
It'll just be a rubber dude.
Rubber dude.
Hey, what's up? I'm rubber dude. Oh, okay, cool.
What's up, Stretch Armstrong?
I'm Trojan Man.
What?
Rubber, get it?
All
right. All right, let's talk about some more. The next couple are casting news here, too, as well. The Flash casts Sugar Lynn Beard. Is this last name's first name Sugar, last name's Beard?
Yep. Sugar Beard.
All right. As Hazard.
Sugar. Fucking hippie.
I wasn't going to say it, but what the fuck? Oh, it's a chick. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Sugar Lynn Beard has been cast. I'm sorry. That is just, wow. Has been cast as Rebecca Sharp, a.k.a. Hazard, for the fourth season of The Flash. Sharp is described as perpetually down on her look and convinced her life is cursed until a freak accident, of course, duh, changes everything. With the universe on her side, she poses a threat to both Team Flash and Central City. Hazard first appeared in Infinity Inc. number 34 back in 1987. Now, this sounds like to me this is going to be a filler bad guy.
Villain of the week.
Villain of the week. And we will see this one come and go as quick as possible.
I just want everyone to know that she's itty bitty.
What does she look
like? She's 4 inches shorter than me. She's 4'11".
4'11"?
She's shorter than me?
No way. Yeah. Hold on. I got to see what
she's talking about. Down on your luck as a midget?
She's super cute, though. She's just really petite. Like, her proportions are all very normal. She's beard. Just...
Okay, there she is.
She's just short.
I just don't... What did her... What were her
She really
thinking?
Likes those low-cut tops that I wish
she
I could wear.
She sure does.
She's 4... Damn, she's 4'11". Jesus, she's very attractive, though.
Super cute.
Super cute.
Super, super cute. She's just a tiny
and
little
shorter
little
than
lady.
Me. Yay.
And her name is I Sugar. So and her last name's Sugar. Beard.
Okay. Which is probably why she adds the Lynn in there.
So she does. So
because
it's, like,
so it's not just Sugar Beard.
Hey, what's your name? Sugar Beard. Excuse me, what is your name? Oh, okay. So we'll never
the
have her on the show
now. Did you just call me?
Yeah. Yeah, what did you say to me? She says that to Bob. Hi, my name's Sugar Beard. What?
Huh? You know,
what's
I mean,
up?
hi. No, I think
some people's parents make decisions, man. You know, I just
and so this is going to be a villain of the week, a very quick episode character, and
very short.
and here comes all the short.
And
jokes.
Here comes the short jokes.
oh yeah, she
yeah.
Was
so,
in...
Nicole, what do you think about that?
Speaking of short,
Nicole, what do you feel about Sugar Lynn Beard?
She was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. She was like the sister of
I never saw
the two guys. It's on HBO Go. I watched it because it was there. And it was actually...
Wow. So why'd you watch this movie? Because it was there? Oh, that's cool.
I watched all kinds of movies because of that.
Yeah. I didn't want to pay for it in theaters, but I'll watch it for
you
free.
You just wanted to see Zac Efron shirtless, huh?
Absolutely. 100%.
Is she the
always.
Sister?
Yeah, she's the sister that gets married.
She's naked in it.
What?
Yeah.
She gets naked?
Yeah, she gets naked.
No, I'm totally into it.
She's real cute.
Hell yeah.
To expand my perversion, yes, I know what you're talking about. She's naked.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin. All right. Moving along. I can't wait to see Sugar Lynn Beard when I go look her up.
This lady's been naked, too.
I know this one. So The Flash adds... Captain Marvel, Katie Sackhoff as DC Comics villain. Battlestar Galactica alum will play DC Comics villain Amunette Black, a.k.a. Blacksmith, a steely and badass boss of an underground black market for supervillains. Amunette uses every means possible, including the long list of metahumans under her thumb, to ensure her illicit enterprises thrives. The actress will appear in episode 405, so episode 5, interestingly titled Girls Night Out, which also serves as a mini crossover with Arrow. Emily Bett Rickards will also pop
up. Bet you Felicity
during...
makes it off the Aww. Island.
Yeah, weird. I bet Felicity makes
Gee,
it off the island.
Wonder.
Yeah, weird how
are
that
you
works.
Are doing an episode entitled Girls Night Out?
Yes.
Will Livewire be in it?
Aww. Here's the thing. So this is big because I don't think they hire Katie Sackhoff for a once-off character.
Oh, God, no.
That seems really dumb.
You don't hire Starbuck. Well, the second Starbuck, but like yeah. still, you don't hire her.
Well, not only that, but she's huge.
But I'm talking about like for nerds, that's mostly what a lot of nerds know
her as. Battlestar Galactica. Absolutely. Well, yeah. That's what I know her from.
Yeah.
So I think this is interesting. I don't think they hire her for a once-off character. I think she will come back. But this also sounds like Girls Night Out. This sounds like a very interesting episode, I guess would be the way to describe that. I think the thing is, it's got Felicity in it, so I'm already like... Mm.
Well, what would you be happy, though, if...
She scissored?
Blacksmith punched Felicity in the face.
Oh, yes. I would be there you immediately.
Go. I'm going to predict that just that, because.
You really think that's going to happen? You think she's going to punch her in the face?
I hope so.
I'm going to predict it, but I hope it happens. That's what I want to see.
I just hope it happens.
Listen, a lot of predictions come from people just hoping that things happen.
That's very, very true. So yeah, I don't think they hire Katie Sackhoff or cast Katie Sackhoff just for shits and giggles.
And the funny thing is, I look at it differently because I look at them as when they cast people like this, they know that the nerd community gets up in arms.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, remember... Chad Coleman last year for Arrow, we thought that he was the big bad and he was only around for a couple episodes and they killed him off. You know, and what does Chad Coleman have? Well, the big Walker Stalker fucking following. So I don't know why they wouldn't do this for, you know, a Battlestar alum, you know, just to get those people over, maybe to watch that one show.
Also, with a bigger name that has a huge like cult following like that. A lot of times it's harder to book them for a recurring thing, too, for like a long-term recurring thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really could go either way.
Yeah, you're right. I personally don't
you
see.
You hope.
I hope. Yeah, because I like her. I think she's good. So I think it would be a cool way to keep, you know, bringing people in. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised, too, if it was a once-off thing. I just don't know if it will be.
Is this a character that we've all kind of ignored or just like never thought of every time we've had discussions of the Rogues Gallery and like who we expected to see? I feel like we've never brought up Blacksmith.
No, never.
We never have. Absolutely not.
And that's it sounds neat. Like she's running a Rogues Gallery.
Well, I mean, she has been the head of like the network and stuff like that. So black market weapons and contraband and stuff. So it's just, you know, I mean,
Well, what I want to know is what does Felicity have to do with this? Like, why is she popping up in here?
Okay, so, you know, let's get into this.
Buckle up, everyone.
Here we go.
Barry's going to propose.
Right.
Already has proposed. The wedding's coming. Girls' night out is probably going to be a black bachelorette party.
Hey, Bob, it's almost like you think about things.
Almost like you know things.
It's almost like
Keep
you
going.
Look at stuff and make deductions.
No, I mean, I'm legitimately, that's the only, like, in my head, that's the only reason why Felicity would come over to the show. Is
so
that,
where are they right? going on the
They're going to the black market to find fucking guns and shoot things. I don't know.
I want you to really get in depth with this one.
No, it's fine.
Or they accidentally bump into her, like, they, like, shoulder check her on accident in a bar, and then she has a vendetta. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're not good at this.
Oh, that wasn't serious. Please don't think that was serious.
What's going to happen is they're going to have a night out on the town. There's going to be some kind of robbery with some kind of underground weapon that they've never seen before. Felicity's going to have some tech things.
Can't
that,
we just have a regular night on the town?
Yeah, and then she's going to find it. And she's like, oh, I can look into this. And she's going to use her hacking skills or that black box that she had on the Arrow. Find out that there's this underground community that they didn't know about. They're going to have to infiltrate it. And this is where we're going to get introduced to them.
CW, why don't you just hire
Bob? Yeah, shit. You should just be a writer.
Why are you not writing in this show?
Well, I mean, he writes our shows.
Snapchat.
I'm on Snapchat. I'm not writing. All right. So let's talk about some major predictions for the year for Flash. First one, let's talk about will Barry Allen return as the Barry Allen we know? And I'm going to answer that right off the bat and say no. I think... You know, we know that in the Speed Force time passes completely different than it is in the real world. I think Barry comes back and he's going to be messed up. And I think it's not going to be like, oh my God, he's a psychopath, but I think he's going to definitely come back and have some scars. And again, here's the thing that's a double-edged sword. And we went through this with Emo Barry. And the fact of the matter is that if we get too much of that, it could push people away from the show. But at the same time, I don't want him to come back and be all hunky-dory. I feel like he needs to at least look like he's been through some shit in the Speed Force. So this one's a tough one, but I think we will see a different Barry than who went in, for sure. I don't know. What do you guys think?
So I think it could go that way entirely, and that's really what seems obvious. I think there's a small chance that he could come out completely different, but also once he's out, be like way more optimistic and way more like, I'm just so grateful that I get to live this life again.
Yeah,
and I'm
I
just
have
so,
to live.
Yeah, I get to live. I don't have to relive the same hell over and over and over for what feels like God knows how many years. So there's, yeah, he's either going to be really messed up and sort of like somber and just like broken, or he might be in like the total opposite spectrum, and he might be like really positive and really just
optimistic. Yes, I get the bone iris.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Listen, that's a great
perk.
That's
going to be what brings him back to normal.
Is boning her?
Is boning her.
He's like, yes, I finally got in there.
No, I honestly, I think it's going to be one of those things, like you said yourself, that the speed force, the time doesn't pass right. So he doesn't know how long he's been in there. And I think just like if you were locked up in prison or you come out of jail, there's going to be some adjustment time to getting back to like the reality of real time.
Right.
But there's also going to be that part of him that realizes that maybe over the last couple of years that he's just been doing nothing but chasing the past and not looking at the present or the future with his wife and his family and his friends. He's been dwelling on that thing with his mother. And that way this snaps him back to fun loving Barry, where he just goes forward from here and stops looking at the past as something he needs to fix.
Yeah.
Done.
I feel like he's gonna be messed up at first, but he's slowly gonna come back to being the Barry that they knew to an extent. Maybe a little bit less fun loving.
I think we need more. I think you're right, Nicole. I think we need more middle of the road Barry. I think too happy go lucky Barry gets on my nerves. And then you have emo Barry, which is just awful.
It's Spider-Man 3, and I don't
know. Yeah, we need the middle. We need a middle of the road Barry. I don't think we've really seen a middle of the road Barry, and I think that's what we really need. Okay, another one. What will the repercussions be for Cisco getting Barry out? Obviously, Cisco is going to be the way that he gets out. I don't know. This one I'm very on the edge about. I want to say Gypsy might have a problem with this, and I don't know why. But this one's going to be interesting because Cisco obviously has to face some type of repercussion for getting him out of the Speed Force. I mean, obviously, we know that if the Speed Force doesn't have a speedster, what happens to the Speed Force? So this one will be interesting. I don't know who they replace him with at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I think this is where we get all these new metahumans from.
Oh, that
just
could
keep
be,
throwing them in the Speed Force?
No, like the Speed
Force. See you later, motherfucker.
See who sticks.
No, I think the Speed Force has some kind of reaction, like almost like the reactor did.
Okay.
You know, and might throw out something because of Cisco just yanking him out of it. I mean, because
so
we see
powers awakening in people.
Yeah, because how else do you keep casting all these people out of nowhere? You know?
Dude, they've been in hiding the whole time, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you know?
I just think it would be a good reason for a new wave of rogues
of
to come in.
Metahumans.
You know, even if it like ends up like the Speed Force ends up creating a new speedster at the end for next season.
Mm.
I don't know.
Another new speedster.
Well,
interesting.
We know that shit happens, but I'm just saying. I just think this is how you expand. Like, we've already done, you know, 60 whatever episodes of the reactor causing all these metahumans.
It's time to maybe find another way.
You know, maybe something else happens and it just creates more.
Now here's another one that's very interesting. What do we expect from the Killer Frost character this year? Now, this one also I think is a double-edged sword, because if we go too heavily onto this, we looked at this a lot last year, going back and forth between Killer Frost and Caitlin. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm kind of over the whole teeter-totter thing. I really just want them to stick with one and really just play off that one character. You know, if she's going to have powers, then she's going to have powers. If she's not going to have powers, then she's not going to have powers. Let's stop teeter-tottering and basically pulling at the heartstrings of the fans. Like, okay, what the fuck are we doing with this character? So for me, I truly want her to be Killer Frost all the time.
But I'm just saying, I don't think she's going to lose that Killer Frost. I'm just wondering if she's going to be good.
Right. And that's the thing. I was getting there.
Oh, sorry.
The thing that bums me out is that, you know, when we got both of them, we have to look at both sides, good and bad. I think we either need to just make her fully bad or make her fully good and stop teeter-tottering back and forth with those two, because it just it becomes a double-edged sword, and I worry too much about the damn thing when it really shouldn't be a focal point.
But how's that any different than somebody like Deathstroke?
And it's different because Deathstroke's not a metahuman. He can make the decision on whether he can be bad or good. I guess she could too.
We saw her make the decision at the end of last season. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, she's made the decision. Can we stop now? Like at this point, like I just feel like you just keep doing it to fuck with us. So this one's interesting. I really would rather see Caitlin, to be completely honest. She brings something to the team, but I also would think it would be kind of cool to have Killer Frost and somehow kind of still work with the team, but kind of be that weird neutral. So again, I don't know. This one, I don't know. I mean, let's be honest, Caitlin's way hotter as Killer Frost. So yeah,
you're right. That's my vote.
My vote is that she stays Caitlin, but she keeps the hair.
Right. I think, honestly,
Ryan's dick wants Killer Frost.
Yes, my dick wants Killer Frost, but my brain wants Caitlin, which makes total sense because Caitlin's smart.
Well, also, I like her acting better as Caitlin. I like the character of Caitlin more, but I like the dichotomy between the two, and I like...
What's that mean? That's a big word.
Stop it.
This is why I like Caitlin better. Or Killer Frost.
Schism? There's a schism between
them? It's that car. The dichotomy. It's a fancy car.
It's a fancy car. Is that like
bike?
Is that like 600 horsepower or what?
But honestly, I like the difference between the two character types for her, and I want that middle ground. You know, like Caitlin is a great character, but she also has this tendency to like do everything on her own to try and put away that side, the Killer Frost side of her and stuff like that. And now that she's kind of opening up and saying, this is what's happening to me, you know, I needed help. And before she actually turned into Killer Frost, she was more open with everyone about that problem. I want to see her meet somewhere in the middle, embrace her powers, but be aware of what it does to her and work with that instead of trying to just suppress it. I don't want to see her evil Killer Frost all the time. I'm okay with seeing that as like the occasional struggle for her where like, Caitlin, bring it back, reel it back in. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's more interesting to me than just going from one extreme to the other back and forth for the rest of this show.
Yeah, I don't want that. I just don't want to see
that. It was fine for a bit.
Yeah, we can't do it the whole time.
But let's meet somewhere in the middle now.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Let's meet in the middle and then let's go from there. Okay. And then we can stop fucking around with that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Dichotomy.
Dichotomy. Yeah.
Dichotomy. Yeah.
Should we move on to legends?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes. And I will actually join in on this one.
All right. well, you kind of joined in on Supergirl.
Yeah, but
let everyone know how hot the girls are. Yeah.
Well, that's my. Yeah,
this is Ryan's contribution to Supergirl. I Googled her. She's hot.
Hey, if you guys need me to come in for Supergirl and tell you the viewers how hot a character is, I can do that. I feel like I could do that.
Thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome.
You're such a big help.
The hot or not of Earth 33, Ryan.
God. All right. Well, on that note, Courtney Ford has booked a recurring role on the as the daughter of Damian Dark. So she better have some piercing blue eyes.
Actress. Wait. Hey, I know her.
Well, you know her.
Yeah, she was in Supernatural.
I know her. Well, who is she? What was she on Supernatural?
She was in the latest season.
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, yeah. She's also on Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yeah, totally. I know who that is.
Yeah, she's hot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Coming from that stable of CW actors that live in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Damn, she's almost 40.
Good for her.
40. Wow.
Damn.
That a girl. Oh,
she was also in Dexter.
What's wrong with being almost 40?
Yeah, but you're not a hot chick, Bob. Sorry.
Just getting better looking, though.
There's nothing wrong with being 40 or almost 40, but she doesn't look like she is at all.
Yeah, absolutely not.
All right. So, the actress who will first appear in episode 305 will play Eleanor, who is smart and cunning with a charming dose of otherworldly creepiness. Wednesday Addams all grown up. Her innocent looks can be disarming, but it's all an act. This woman is dangerous with an uncanny ability to manipulate others and is able to tell people exactly what they want to hear. She's highly intelligent and is always several moves ahead. Oh, gee, that doesn't sound familiar or like Damian Dark at all. her unique dark talents all stem from the fact that she is Damian Dark's daughter. So
I thought Damian Dark only had a son.
I thought he had a younger son.
He had little baby childs.
Yeah.
Little babies.
I mean, What?
The babies.
He had little babies.
I'm not going to lie. This is interesting because we all liked Damian Dark's character. So if they're going to bring in a character to feed off that or to, you know, offspring, I think it's smart. Especially too, if you're going to give her, make her like creepy, like a chick and have like a creepy vibe to her. I'm totally into that. Just saying.
Yeah.
Depends on how creepy, I guess.
Right. Honestly, though, like I thought we saw that he had like a daughter
who was young. Right?
So is she from the future? Is she future Hot Wednesday Adams' daughter, all grown up person lady?
I don't know. That's weird.
Guess it would have to be, right?
Because she.
Yeah. Or they fucked up the earth so bad that we don't know.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
We're right.
We're forgetting about that. Yeah. She's all grown up.
Forgetting about a lot of things.
Also, fun fact, Courtney Ford is married to Ray Palmer in real life.
Wait, what? She's married to Brandon Ralph?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Unless Wikipedia is outdated.
Well.
That's where I noticed it.
She is married to Brandon Ralph. 10 years now. Bitch. Damn.
Okay.
That's a pretty couple.
That is a pretty couple.
Mm-hmm. Nora is the name of the daughter that was
the younger daughter.
Young baby Dottie daughter. Words are hard.
But
I don't
Dottie. Dottie's a new word, baby guys. Baby Dottie.
Listen. You know what's funny?
This is why we do preview shows.
Yeah.
you know what's funny? Is the actress that plays the young daughter, Nora,
mm-hmm.
her name is Tuesday.
Shut up. What the fuck?
Awesome. Tuesday Hoffman. I'm not kidding. That's her name.
Wow.
The little girl, her name is Tuesday Hoffman. Oh, that's just funny. That's a nice little thing. But yeah,
right.
She's a young girl. And so this is a different daughter than the world is messed up.
Did they fuck up the timeline?
Yeah.
Did they bury it? And now he's got another daughter.
Or a different daughter entirely. Yeah. Or
interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be weird. All right.
All right.
Whew. All right.
Woo.
More Legends news. We have got, what was this? A trailer and stuff like that?
No, just go down to the article. It'll say season 3 villains. Go down there.
Okay. That's what you meant.
Dude, yes. This promo image is cool as shit, though. The one of all of them standing there, like with their powers and stuff.
Yeah.
Super cool.
All the promo stuff looks really cool. Bob, I don't think I know what you're talking about, actually.
It's right here. Legends of Tomorrow, season 3 villains. Legends of Tomorrow executive producer Phil Klemmer did some dishing at the TCAs. What are the TCAs? Anyone know? No?
It's
like an awards or?
No, it's the upfronts for the new season.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go. Now
specifically speaking to IGN about the mysterious Rogues Gallery for season 3, Klemmer describes the upcoming approach to the antagonist, stating, "This is a much more supernatural, spooky vibe this season. We're dealing with more magic and less real world bad guys. Indeed, season 3 will feature a new mysterious main villain described as a non-human entity at the center of an evil occult group.
This
was a different Legion of Doom, bro. Familiar faces will fall into the fanatical fold, notably the Flash's resident hyper-intelligent telepathic silverback Gorilla Grodd. Moreover, it appears that the mystical inclined Damian Dark will not let either his timeline set death on Arrow or the dissolution of the Legion of Doom stop him from making yet another return when he joins the mysterious occult group. Grodd's return will show the character in a completely different place than the last time we saw him on Flash after his unsuccessful multiverse guerrilla army invasion of Earth One failed, leaving him, exiled and imprisoned. Klemmer elaborates.
Exiled? Ryan, come on.
No, not exiled. I can say exiled. It's okay. Ignominiously.
Oh my God. My computer is not loading this page. Hold on. I need to see what word this is. Give me one
Bob,
second.
Bob, say that word.
Where the hell is ignominiously?
Ignominiously. God, I suck. It's that one right there. I should know. I know that word. And it's whatever. I just couldn't read it tonight, okay? Give me a break.
Ignominiously.
I'm not even supposed to be reading this article anyways. Exile from Gorilla City Grodd will be perceived in sympathetic light, one that could lure the Legends into some trouble. This quote here is from Guggenheim. It will be a version of Grodd that we have not met yet on any of the shows. It will be the most evolved and powerful form of Grodd. We're actually breaking the episode now. This is cool. So we had talked about this on Flash, but you know, how evolved of a Grodd will we ever see? So this sounds, this is actually
fully evolved Grodd.
Yeah, this is awesome, dude. This is pretty cool.
His final form.
Whoa. Frieza. Damian Dark is going to be the leader of the group in the way Thawne was sort of the boss last year for Legion of Doom. This group is distinctively led up by Damian. We've had a fun way to bring him back and kind of plays into the season-long mythology. However, the Rogues Gallery may not be the only thing boosted on Legends of Tomorrow. Besides new characters like Tala,
Isis.
Thank you. There's speculation that Arrow may send over Paul Blackthorne's Quentin Lance for a Legends tenure of some kind. Plus, Wentworth Miller's Leonard Snart, Captain Cold can seem to stay dead. Yeah, which is pretty true. Series will see yet another return. This time, a bizarro doppelganger of the character. That's not even a topper in the Legends arena. Clemmer also confirms that the show's creative personnel are actively campaigning to acquire Matt Ryan for an appearance to reprise his Constantine role as a supernatural investigator himself.
That's Flash after he done that one, buddy.
John Constantine.
Yes. So
that is pretty fucking cool.
But I think we've always called for Constantine to show up on Legends because it fits what goes on. He can't have a show right now, so bring him in every once in a while.
Yeah, he can come in and out, and he can, you know, just
keep the character fresh.
When it's relevant, when it's important, they can call on him, they can stop back by or whatever. Same way they were handling Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Hicks. I think that's a good call.
Well, he fits in with the narrative of Legends of Tomorrow. And I think
the magic and mysticism that they're going to.
Absolutely. I think here's the thing. If you're going to bring him in, he's got to be a couple episodes, right? Not just one. You can't bring him for one. Right?
No. Well, I mean, you could, but let's not, because he's great.
Have we heard anything from him about wanting to recur the role? I think he said he wanted to, right?
He is reprising his role in the CW Seed thing. He's voicing.
In the animation.
What? I mean, it's animated.
Dude,
but
first of all, that name is awful. CW Seed? Come on.
Yeah, but, you know, here we are.
CW wants to give us their seed.
Gross. On that note, on that kind of topic of, okay, we would love to see Constantine on the show, but what other characters would we like to see that we haven't? Like, there's so many options because they're not really within the constraints of the other shows. They can pull
Booster
a character
Gold.
From anywhere. Samesies.
I still want Booster Gold. I feel like that
Booster
is
Gold and Blue Beetle together.
Yes, that is one or two characters. Well, hell,
how long have they teased freaking Blue Beetle?
Head cord forever, right? It's like, come on, give us one or the other. I mean, the thing is,
together,
one or the other, it doesn't matter. The thing is, like with Booster Gold, it makes so much sense because of the time traveling. It's like, come on, just give us Booster Gold. Even a flash of Booster Gold. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see Matt Ryan come back as Constantine. Let's be honest. I think he's a fan favorite of all of ours. But we need to start bringing in some new characters, right? I mean,
I would love to see more of the like mystical characters.
Yeah, that would be
because
cool.
Like they're Dr. steering Fate. Away from that. Yeah, Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate.
I will
cool.
always have my hat in the ring for you know, Spectre to show up. I will always be give
Remember
me some Jim
Spectre
Corrigan.
Of the gun.
I know, man.
That was that episode.
Ugh.
What about Zatanna?
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty mystical, right? I mean,
about as mystical as it gets.
I'm just trying to think of characters that would fit.
The only thing I worry about, like the Zatanna thing, is I think she would fit in on the Supergirl a lot better, being a female
character.
But what if she popped in for a one episode thing with Constantine?
Yeah, I could see that.
And then she was received well by fans, and then she went to Supergirl.
So can we just like start naming off the Justice League Dark on the characters we want to see? You know, like
Swamp Thing.
Dead Man, fucking Thing.
Well, I
the
would
thing
love
is,
to see Dead Man.
Dead Man would be cool.
I posted a picture on our Facebook page that Guggenheim teased something that looked like Sandman's mask.
Oh.
So, and I would like to see those characters that they teased for season one. Remember when they had those, like, you had to screenshot your phone and adjust the black level so you could see, you know, it was like Sergeant Rock, it was Fate, it was like all them, and we didn't see anybody.
Well, even in the Constantine show, I mean, they teased Dr. Fate with the helmet.
Yeah, he always had it in his little, like, bunker.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, Fate would be a really cool one because that would about as mystical as it fucking gets. I mean, let's be completely honest, besides Constantine. So That's interesting. I mean, you could argue for the Justice League, all of the Justice League Dark to show up, or, you know, one or two of them.
And honestly, I think this is the show to do it.
Yeah, this is a show where they'd be more, I think, more well received. I mean, most of the people that watch these shows are going to say, hey, I watched Constantine. I know who that character is. So that one they don't have to really establish. But, you know, if you bring Swamp Thing is kind of, I mean, that's Swamp Thing. Let's be completely honest. Most people know the name of the Swamp Thing. But
the Toxic Avenger.
Hey man, it's Toxic Avenger. But yeah, I don't know. I think they could, there's so many characters they could bring in that fit, that would fit on this show.
I mean, literally any character. They could make it work.
Honestly speaking, yeah. And we're thinking of good guys. I mean, what about bad guys they could bring in? Oh. I mean, at this point, they could literally bring in anybody, you know, for the show.
I always go with the good guys on this because I don't see this as being a villain of the week, bad guy driven show.
It's not. It's
you know, they've kind of turned it into Quantum Leap. Like, there's a problem in this timeline. We have to solve it and get the fuck out.
They just don't have a cool handheld thing like the dude on the show. Yeah.
They screwed the pooch with the timeline, though. There's dinosaurs roaming, and that's the biggest problem.
I'm going to call this right now, four episodes. It's going to last four episodes.
You think it's only going to last four episodes?
Yeah, and I think so. And the reason being is you're going to have the timeline messed up. They've got to fix it quick to get the main, the big bad rolling.
So, and here's the thing, too, is unfortunately, we can kind of predict that because it's a CW formula.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, that's the same kind
it
of thing that
happened.
It could
be the first 10 minutes.
That's
you're
true.
Right. Yeah. It could be the first 10 minutes. Flash it could be point. The first four episodes. Oh. It could be like two episodes. I don't think it'll go more than four.
It's
I
two,
think Ryan's
to, two,
right.
two to four episodes. And I think once we get to a certain point, they'll get rid of it, or it'll fix itself. And then we'll move right into the big bad.
It's going to bring us a new character who's going to be teaming up with them. So it's a plot device in itself.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I don't, maybe it's only even the first episode and they just happen to see ripples of it like later, you know,
it's really not as bad as we thought.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to say it's just like the first one or two episodes. I'm going to say that because this is bringing us our new character, Isis, who's not going to be called Isis because you know
we will call her Isis
groups.
All fucking year.
Yeah. I will call
we
her
sure
by
will.
Her
no it's a cool name, name and it's the name of an Egyptian goddess, so suck it, terrorist group.
Yeah, suck it,
we
asshole.
Don't like
taking
you.
Isis back.
We're taking it back, motherfuckers, because you stole it from us because you never mind.
Well, you just steal it from us.
You didn't steal from us, you stole it from the
stole from Archer.
Yeah, go fuck some goats.
Yeah, you stole from Archer. Duh. Yeah.
All right, so
sons of bitches.
But yeah, honestly, like, it is bringing us a new character, a new teammate to join the Wave Rider. And I think the more important detail of it is that we're going to see ripples of it. We're going to see lots of Ashton Kutcher butterfly effect things.
Oh, my.
Throughout. The movie's bad. We're going to see that.
But
though,
it taught me the butterfly effect.
Right. We all know that term now. It is socially relevant. Thanks, Ashton Kutcher.
Educational film.
Do they show that in school as an educational
film? When it's a rain day and the kids can't go out for recess, they put on a butterfly. It's a science
Learn
movie.
Learn something, motherfuckers. Oh, my
but yeah,
God.
I think they're going to fix it with the help of Isis, and it's going to wrap up in the first couple episodes. Yeah. We'll see some fallout from it throughout the whole season, and there might be some major plot points that are existing because of that. But
maybe that's how Damian Dark's daughter comes into the fold.
I think so, yeah. And, you know, now we got to figure out. So I don't know how they're going to fix it. Does anyone have a theory on how they're going to fix it? This new girl's going to come in and they're going to do some stuff.
It's got to be mystical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the way they've been describing the season.
Mostly. Yeah. At least mostly.
I have no idea, but I'm guessing. Yeah. Like you said, yeah, it has to be something mystical.
Or we'll find out that they really didn't fuck up the timeline, that they just jumped to like 4,020 something. And dinosaurs have re-inhabited the planet somehow because they keep making Jurassic Park movies and they keep getting out.
Because they're making real dinosaurs for Jurassic Park movies?
It's just Jeff Goldblum's like, life
finds a way.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Just saying, if Jurassic World 2 comes out and more dinosaurs get out, it affects the world.
Yeah, it's smart. That's a great way to look at it, Bob.
Right.
I wish.
One of the biggest reveals, though, that we've seen teases of is that Rip Hunter is now making basically a new Time Master situation, the Time Bureau. So what does that mean for his relationship with the crew of the Wave Rider? Do they follow him? Do they support him? Does he become a villain that faces off with them?
I hope not. I hope he's not a villain. Let's not do the villain shit again.
But do they clash heads at least? I feel like they do.
I feel like they, yeah. I think this is what I ultimately think Rip is going to do. He's going to start the Time Bureau thing. I think he's going to be like that guy who gives them missions.
The captain.
Yeah, not the captain that's on the ship at all time.
No, but like, you know, like the captain in the typical police sense.
Yes,
like,
yes.
God damn it, Sarah, I gave you an order and you disobeyed it, but good job.
Yeah. And then he's going to go eat a donut. The fact of the matter is, I truly think that's what it's going to be. He's going to have an official capacity, but he's not going to be, you know,
official.
Official.
Well, then the thing that kind of gives it away is that they say guest starring.
Yeah.
You know, Darvel, like he's not listed as a permanent thing. It always says guest starring.
So basically, like when he tries to come to conventions here.
Yeah. Oh.
No, he actually shows up guest starring. It means he's on it.
Man.
So if anyone doesn't get that, Arthur Darvel has been scheduled to come to 2 conventions here in Phoenix.
And canceled. He hates us.
Has had to cancel pretty last minute.
Arthur,
times.
If you're listening, that's really mean.
Arthur, I just want to say hi to you, and that's it, man.
Stop getting our hopes up.
I just
want to
shake your hand and
them.
Say, hey, come visit, dude.
It's not that hot here.
Really upset about it.
Anyways.
All right.
I got really morbid.
Just got real mopey. All right. I mean, yeah, I don't think Rip becomes a villain, but I do think they're going to kind of like butt heads a little. Not so much that it really destroys the relationship, but we'll see what happens. I think that it might get a little stressed between them, a little strained for a little bit. We've got one last thing.
One last thing.
One last thing. All right. We've got this big ass crossover. Crisis on Earth X is what it's called. AKA Ryan, what is it?
AKA Barry and Iris get married, and Barry finally puts his wee wee in Iris.
I thought they've already done that. They've already done that so many times.
Wait, so many times?
You weren't there?
How do you know?
They live together.
Because it means Flash.
He put it in without her knowing, or because he's so fast?
No. What?
Huh?
Stop it.
Ryan, what year are you in, legend, that you're not sleeping with the person you're living with?
Yeah.
Dude, 1943.
I don't know. I'm going to have to trade 3 pigs for my wife.
See, you got some splaining to do. We're going to sleep in separate beds, dude. That's not normal.
All right. So, with all of the heroes in town to celebrate Paris' wedding, villains from Earth X crashed the festivities with a deadly agenda. Earth X was a parallel world in which Germany won World War II. It was home to such former quality comics heroes as Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters, Uncle Sam, Phantom Lady, The Ray, Doll Man,
a bunch of wussies.
In addition to evil doppelgangers of some of the CW's key heroes, not the SS symbol on the chest of the Reverse Flash. Eumenes's cover.
Have you seen the picture?
No.
The picture's there. Everybody thinks that the doppelganger of the Flash has like the Nazi SS symbol on it.
Oh, he just has 2 Flash symbols.
And it's just the lightning bolt outside with the thick. So,
I mean,
it looks like an S.
It's close.
If you were to put that on your shoulder.
But here's the thing. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me preface here. If the Nazis won World War II, it makes sense.
You're right.
So why is, I don't understand why that would be such a triggered thing. I mean,
he's obviously a bad guy. Yeah. So like,
okay. Ryan, you just said, why would that be a triggered thing in this day and age where people were, Nazis were just protesting with.
Right. Okay.
Torches.
Okay. Great.
So I think,
yeah.
No, no, I honestly, but you know how people are.
Right.
And we're not going to like get into like some kind of.
Maybe a better question would
argument.
Be.
No. I'm not making it a political thing. I'm just saying in the timeline that we're coming from.
No. I understand. I'm just saying.
I understand.
They're
people
just
are dumb.
Guys. Maybe a better way to phrase what Ryan was asking would be, why would that be a super negative thing when he's obviously a bad guy coming from a world of Nazis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But we all know why, because that's not.
Well, I mean, we understand why it would be like a trigger thing. You know what I mean? Why people would be like, oh, Nazi bad. But
10 years from now, everybody will look at it and be like, that's cool. They made Flash with a Nazi symbol on him because he's a Nazi. Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, honestly, though, I think as long as it's not glorified, as long as he's obviously a bad guy,
he's not goose stepping while he's running.
So it says Jimenez's cover also depicts the Ray signaling the character will make the jump to live action.
So why?
And this is a whole really cool cover style poster for this.
But why does Heatwave look like Sloth?
I mean,
just look at that picture. I zoomed in.
I looked at some of the drawings. Guys. They don't look. I was like, oh, that one was bad.
Like, dude, he totally looks like Sloth. Oh, that's fucked up.
I'm looking, and I don't see him.
He's on the left side, right above Ray, the Atom.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, he's a little off.
This is interesting because I'm looking at the picture, and if you look at the, obviously, it looks like Prometheus as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Reverse Flash. You've got a different Archer than the Green Arrow.
Yes.
You've got your bad version of Supergirl. But here's the thing that I noticed too. The bottom left-hand corner, just left of Barry, is that Captain Cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's got the actual Captain Cold glasses on. That's
definitely
pretty legit.
And there's our new Black Canary. There's Vixen, Vibe.
Yep.
We've got this whole
This is pretty theme. Cool. The Ray, isn't that the gay dude?
Yes, that's the gay guy.
Yes, it is.
I'm just asking.
Thank you.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, just asking.
And then, so is that going to be Rain's costume, or is that, you know, like, what's the deal with that there?
Well, I think they're evil doppelgangers coming over.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's all, you think that's what she's going to end up as?
But the thing is, I don't know. But at the same time, too, like, there's, you know, it looks like Prometheus down there and stuff. So what's he doing there? But then there's also, like, an evil doppelganger of
Green Arrow
yeah. And you know, I don't know, man, there's just some weird.
It's pretty cool. I definitely think the crossover they're going with this, it's gonna be epic just by this poster right here.
Yeah, but how do you do this marriage thing and then keep it in Supergirl for one whole episode?
Yeah, well, maybe he invites Supergirl to the wedding.
Yeah, but then she just shows up.
Yeah,
she's the only one from Hey-o. Supergirl in the
Yeah, whatever. He doesn't know. Well, I guess he does.
He
know.
Does know him.
He
all.
Knows all.
I just was wondering.
Look, maybe he just liked, you know, Kara better than everyone else. He didn't want a Martian at his wedding.
Well,
you know,
maybe.
Who knows?
He doesn't really have a relationship with any of the other ones.
Yeah,
she doesn't get a plus one.
Kara's his friend.
Well, who's she gonna bring?
Who's she gonna bring? Mon-El's out in outer space. Damn it.
I don't know. All I know is that if you look at there's four bad guys and like 92 good guys, I feel like they're going to win. Just like, I'm like, God dang, there's a lot of good guys. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 good guys and four bad guys. Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm actually pretty psyched about this though. This crossover actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I really don't think that that's going to be Rain's costume style either, because those are just the, you know, Earth X,
the doppelgangers,
Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. That's just what they are. But you never know. You never know what they're going to do. They do weird stuff sometimes where they do the switcheroo. Like Adrian Chase should have been Vigilante, and guess what?
Don't remind me. Here's the thing. I hope that Reverse Flash or whoever he is talks like Darth Vader, because he has a Darth Vader mask on. You look at the mask up close, it's all, you know, Luke, I. That's what it should be, but whatever.
Oliver's son. I am your father. I don't remember Oliver's son's name, so.
There it is. Luke, or Barry, I am your father. Join me, and we can rule the Speed Force as father and son. Something like that. That would be awesome.
Probably. I'll never join you.
Oh, no, no, that's impossible.
That's impossible.
I still can't get over Heatwave looking like Sloth.
Who gets their hand cut off?
Oh, that's a good question.
Captain Cold, then they get the heat ray or the gun attached to his hand.
There you go.
I was going to say Oliver, because doesn't he lose it in the other timeline?
True.
Right? There you go. But really, though, like, are we going to have a problem with this quote-unquote four-part crossover? You know, are we going to see the same freaking thing again that we've already seen twice before now?
They've got to really... Here's the thing. If you're going to keep doing these crossovers every season, you really got to step it up each season. And I think with this, it looks like it's heading that direction. The thing is, if you're going to do a crossover, we kind of know they're going to win, right?
Like, well, okay, my issue is the lack of it actually being a true four parts. Like,
they've said multiple times, though, this is a true.
They've said that every single time.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every single time
that's
they've said that.
That's true.
Unless Iris has been like, there is no dresses on this earth that I like.
I need to go to Earth.
Like, I have somewhere we can go.
Oh, God.
I feel like there's a better way to do it. You know, like, you could do half of the episode of Supergirl with, like, her doing her own shit in her own world and then, you know, follow her over to the other universe in the other half. Like,
okay, so let's look at this. Okay, let's look at this poster. This poster is going to tell us a lot. There's four bad guys. It's a four-part mini crossover. There is a Supergirl-like bad guy. So why wouldn't that episode start with her with the Supergirl-like bad guy?
Because
that's the start of the crossover.
She's in a different... I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Because then why wouldn't those the Earth X versions of them go to the, like, to her Earth too? You know, like, why would they go to different universes, basically?
Hey, look, I'm just saying, look, it could start in her universe, and then that's where it...
I mean, that's where they've been doing it, but it hasn't been going well. Whatever.
Fine.
We'll find out.
God,
we'll find out. All right. On that note, we'll wrap it up there. We'll see what happens. And that's it for today's DC on CW Summer 17 edition. Remember, you can catch any of our past shows on the Rain Man Digital app. And be sure to follow us on Twitter, DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW. And Instagram is @DC_on_CW. Remember to hashtag us, #DC on CW, whenever you're posting about us, talking about us. And we'll see you soon for the start of the season.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.